Kearns, how's he?
Well, we're hoping he'll train to his maximum in the morning, and if he does, he'll obviously be included in our squad for Saturday's. He's just about there, but hopefully he's in and in with a hamstring. You never know until they're at the maximum. The kid was it, 90% of the night. And as I said, at Oxford, if it had been the last game or the last two or three games of the season, we'd have taken a gamble and played him. But with a hamstring, with 12 games to go, it's never about a gamble when it's days. So we'll hopefully have him in the squad, but if not, we'll give it the time it needs.
Claude Davis picked up a knock. It didn't sound particularly a bad one. Is he going to be all right for this weekend?
No, he's a big doubt. It's almost like a dead leg situation. And being the big man he is, he should have come off at half time, really. But he just wanted to give us his stability of 10 minutes starting the second half. And he was grimacing from the first minute of the second half. So he's been under intensive treatment, but he's probably doubtful. But again, that'll be another late call.
That'd be a blow, wouldn't it? He's been excellent recently.
He's been outstanding. We all know he's my famous words for Radio Sheffield. He had his Ming Mong debut, but that's gone. But I think since then, I think you'd agree with me that if it comes into wholehearted defending, he is simply up there with the best in our league. When it comes to passing it, he's at the bottom.
And to round that the fitness thing off, Cornie Cameron, how's he?
Well, Cameron's gone back now to Villa. Villa felt that they needed him to get more game time at a key stage, and we couldn't assure them that we'd give anyone game time. We never do. So he's gone back to there.
Jordan Slew then. So what does the future hold for him? Are you going to try and keep him a Blackburn receptive to that?
Now, Jordan's gone back today as well, so you've got two pieces of news. Listen, I think Jordan Slew's been very unlucky here, hasn't he? Came in his debut, got man of the match, and I thought was excellent for us. We changed it around a little bit, but in fairness to us, we've got that right in respect to the performances of Alec Ravel and Daniel Nardiel have made it difficult for anyone. And if I'm being honest, Keodi Odigie has been outstanding as well, and Jordan's been limited to some cameo appearances, and the kid wants game time, but. You know what, Andy's, I'll say it now, his attitude and his application since he joined us has been nothing short of outstanding, a real premiership dedication to his job. And I've got no doubt, I spoke to the staff at Blackburn Rovers a couple of times yesterday and he'll go back there and I've got no doubt in time Jordan Slew will be a championship player.
So do you plan to Odigie's come back to the force, so there's the replacement there, but directly speaking, are you going to bring anybody in to replace those two?
Yes.
Can you elaborate on that?
It won't be for Saturday, that's what we can say. But we've got an agreement in principle to sign two players on Monday. And subject to that particular club not having any crazy injury situation over the weekend, then that manager's given me his word, so it will happen.
Can you tell us who they are?
No.
Are they championship players again? You went to Blackburn previously for Slew. Where are you looking?
They're championship players, but people don't know these players.
Are they players who've had a lot of first-team football, or are they maybe at the younger end trying to make a name for themselves like Slew?
Oh, no, they're proper first-team players.
Right. And how long have you got them for?
Till the end of the season.
Right. And obviously you have great faith that they can come straight in and do a job for you.
The names will speak for themselves.
You're going to tell us those names?
No, listen, you know until everything's signed and sealed, we'd be foolish to. It only takes one or two knocks in a serious manner. It only takes one or two knocks for that situation to change. But I've spoken to both players a couple of times yesterday. I've spoken to their manager. I've spoken to their assistant manager. I'm just waiting for the turnstile guy to phone me up because I spoke to everyone at that club. But no, on a serious point, they've conducted themselves properly, and they've got a game at the weekend. These players will be around the squad, and therefore we have to respect that. But they've got a couple of people that's due back from injury today, and we rely on that a little bit as well. But in principle, the deal was done for these two players to join us. We just have to see it through now.
We spoke to Paul Rayner the other day, and he mentioned about the prospect of Ainsworth coming back into the squad. Is that still a prospect? Is that going to happen?
Well, I think Lionel has a problem with Andy Scott, the new manager at Aldershot. From previous history, I think Andy Scott has a problem with him, but we had him back here for 4 or 5 days to get the kid fit again, and medical staff have worked around the clock, but he's gone back down to Aldershot today. So we'll see where that lies. You know, we'll have a look at the balance of our squad on Monday or Tuesday, and if we feel that we need Lionel to come in, then we'll recall him.
Can't be that much of a problem then if he's gone back.
No, I think he's been asked to go back down. He was told to come up, and so I just think there's some previous history there, Andy, that was obviously there with Dean Oldsworth, and it happens. Managers and players, I'm not singling that out as any particular issue. I think when the wee man come back in the other day, I was quite surprised to see him, but he was in for treatment, and then we got him training, and he looked particularly bright, and you know, he explained one or two things to the staff that we have to respect. You know, at the end of the day, there's only one person in charge at Aldershot, and it's not Lionel, it's Andy Scott. And of course, if he has ideas and where he wants to play people and who he wants to play, then, as I said to Lionel, he has to respect that.
How close to being ready to play is Scott Shearer right now?
Well, we might see him on the bench on Saturday. He's that close. You know, he's back in full training now. He's been out too long for his liking, too long for my liking, but I think I've said about Scott Shearer, he's a fantastic goalkeeper, he's a fantastic presence, and he's a big character. You know, he spent the last 2 weeks up until the weekend there at St George's Park fine-tuning and overly making sure that he's now ready. And the big fellow was down at in Oxfordshire with us earlier in the week, walking hard with the goalkeepers, and he'll be in here today buzzing. I'm sure you'll hear him before you see him.
Mm-hmm. He's your player, he's someone you've brought to this football club, so when he's 100% fit, does he start?
Well, that would be totally unfair to Andy Warrington, wouldn't it? I think Woggy's been absolutely different class for us. This is a guy that was written off a year ago. And I said to him the other day, I don't care if he's 45, if he plays like that, he'll be at Rotherham United, you know. And he's a real model professional. He's a local man. It ultimately makes no difference, but it helps. And he's someone in this football club that's respected from top to bottom. And if Andy Warrington keeps playing the way he plays, nothing will give me greater satisfaction as a manager than seeing Scott Shearer sit next to me, because what a deputy I've got if there's a problem with Woggy.
Now, of course, you have to deal with pressure and expectation this weekend after thumping Oxford the other night. Dagenham in town. How do you build on that?
Well, I think I've said it, Andy, that's equally, if not more tough than Oxford. You know, I went up and watched Dagenham and at Bradford a couple of weeks ago. Bradford, you know, were fortunate to be in the game when they equalised 5 minutes to go. Dagenham had missed a penalty, had missed a couple of easy chances, had got a goal, and were looking terrific. And but as can happen in League Two, you know, the boy Hansen pops up at the far post and taps one in, and then they're like the Alamo trying to get the winner against Dagenham. But this is a Dagenham side that's built by John Steele, a man that's regarded very highly throughout the Football League, and he's put that team in shape and place. And I'm sure Wayne Burnett, the man that he's left behind to take over the reins, if you like, will embrace that and develop it, and it'll be tough for us.
Over the course of the season, they have proven one of those, well, very inconsistent or consistently inconsistent sides, and are seemingly ensconced in mid-table right now.
Yeah, they are, but they're when you break the team sheet down and you look at the different departments they've got in the team, the one thing that they've got is they've got very good players, and they've got young players that are fresh and hungry, and the one or two older guys they've got, I know one or two of them personally, and one or two, well, the other ones played for me, they've got the greatest desire and the greatest commitment. So we know they'll come and they'll work as hard as they can possibly work at the New York Stadium. But we have to have our game plan to concentrate first and foremost on ourselves and how we can affect the game, and you know, and we need to be capable of going out and building on the run that we're on.
Do they play the way you would expect a John Steele side to play, or has the new manager maybe made a few tweaks and changes in the two or three games, not many, that he's had so far?
I don't think he has to tweak anything. I think he's got a formula there that's been successful. And I think when you do go and make changes, or you do go and make change for the sake of it, sometimes that's when you don't then probably go forward as that team did, or should do. And John Steele was, Wayne Burnett's worked with John Steele for a lot of years. So he'll have a lot of similar ideas. There'll be, I'm sure, Wayne's views have been taken into consideration with John Steele, because if you're doing your job right as a manager, it's not about being autocratic. You have to be democratic. And people at Rayner, Dibble and Warren all have a say in what we do here.
Are you encouraged by the fact that a couple of the teams above you, I won't say they're having a wobble, but the winds aren't necessarily flowing in for Gillingham and Port Vale right now?
I wish I was having a wobble on top of the league, because that's the place to be, isn't it? No, listen, we have always maintained that over the season, after 46 games, a league table doesn't lie, whether you've been lucky or unlucky, whether you've had decisions, whether you've not, whether you've had injuries. You can have particular seasons where it's not been, you can have particular seasons, sorry, where it's not been kind to you. But over the season, it doesn't lie, and we will affect your destiny. It won't be about whatever results happen on Saturday. Although it has to be said, there's some big games.
There are indeed. So, I mean, just to go back to the Oxford performance, what can this team do to build on that, that you would want to see more from them then? I know it's perhaps a daft question when you've won 4-0 as a good team, but would you what can they do to improve on it?
Well, consistency, we've always said it. I think the boys have been consistent for the last 6-8 weeks, and we're probably not getting the, because we said earlier in the season we were inconsistent, but, you know, I think our play in the final third has to be a little bit crisper, as it was for 15 minutes on Tuesday night at Oxford. For 15, 20 minutes before half-time, we moved the ball around, one or two touch, the varying runs were great, players on the ball suddenly in three and four options, and it was no surprise we go and score three or four goals. You know, we spoke about Southend and how I thought our first half performance as a team was better at Southend than the first half performance at Oxford. One's 0-0 and one's 4-0. But what I would say is our final third at Southend wasn't just quite good enough. Our overall play was excellent, but our final third wasn't quite good enough. For 15 minutes at Oxford, it was exceptional.